Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Ron Jeremy, the hedgehog, is our guest tonight. Ron is a veteran of many, many, many porn movies, adult features, and starting to get picked up in poor Ron's chairs on the floor. Can we get a little? Can you get any height out of that
you
chair?
Can. You can. You pull a little lever.
Yeah, see what you can do. But Ron, I was thinking about
being on the show is enough of a high.
Thanks, Ron. Ron is. He gives us all hope. He really does. No, I mean, most...
There we go.
No. We're not going there. But I'm saying...
We can go there.
Most porn stars are these sort of...
Stud muffin.
The male equivalent muscular, of the females that are in it. They're all shaved.
What, silicone boobies?
Yeah, they're kind of...
I know what you
vacant-minded
mean.
And spend a little too much time in front of the mirror. And
Bouncy.
Ron is a thinking man's porn star. I do enjoy Ron's work. From Madam's Family to
right there, and I got you one right there.
Spank me, F me, which is the movie he never will bring to me. Although I beg him.
What's it called?
Spank.
Minka's in this.
I'll get you that one. In fact, the company I work with makes that. Metro Studios makes that.
It's called Spank Me, F Me. But
I'll get you that. I'll get a copy of that. And this one here is Viva Ron Vegas. That's Ron Jeremy on the Loose in Las Vegas.
But wait a minute. Wasn't he in Taboo too?
Of course he was in Taboo.
Yeah, this is
too.
Adam lives his life.
2 and 3. I think actually I was in 4.
I keep thinking I'm going to get to 3, and then it's like, I'm going to watch 3. Yes, he does. Is this bringing back memories?
This is new. It's very nice.
He knows how to please in every detail.
Adam sings this regularly.
Wow.
Yeah. Had this song at my wedding. He can do more than you. We hired Jose Feliciano to do it.
Not a bad voice. Don't give up your evening job.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
No, my wedding, we had Jose Feliciano playing acoustic guitar.
Somebody married you.
Yeah.
What was his name?
That's why we love Ron.
Was it a gay wedding in San Francisco?
Well, hold on, Ron.
Yes, sir.
But you don't. You remember the song to Taboo 2?
I don't memorize.
Yeah, really? They don't play. Hold on. Is that actually not playing in the background?
That is.
Oh, okay. All right.
They spent my money on songs years ago in porn films than today.
Yeah.
Because the money you spend on a song, you get another A scene, this scene, that scene.
Yeah, it sounds like they spent a fortune on this song. I mean,
not quite.
Just what he could do.
Hearing Adam sing this song, I could probably lose an erection.
If you only knew.
I think I'd walk off the set.
Yeah.
No girl's this pretty.
Yeah, that was a great... That orgy scene was great in Taboo, too.
Yes, and I do. I was a Dorothy LeMay. That I remember.
Dorothy LeMay and Bambi. I love that Bambi.
This is before my days of a contract. Now I'm hooked up with a company called Metro, so I work only for them.
I see. So back then, you're just schlong
freelance
for hire,
schmeckle, right?
And how much do you think you would get paid for something? You just get paid by the day for something like that, right?
Yes. But now with Metro, I get it. It's a monthly thing. Metro Interactive.
And Taboo 2, you see the clock spinning around and the calendar page is blowing, and I'm still talking about Taboo 2. I have a long gray beard. Ron is just bones, just a skeleton. And I'm saying, Taboo 2!
I was skinny back then.
Yeah, it looked good.
Then I used to work out in the gym. Now I work out in the buffet. You know,
but Ron looked
svelte.
Ron looked sharp. Yeah. You know what Ron's move is? You don't know Ron's signature move.
Mm. Two of them.
It's subtle. Okay, the first one is Ron inserts the schlong without touching the schlong. He likes to guide it in. There's something
that's true.
Something pedestrian about you grabbing.
It's
kind of
like a U.S.
door.
Smart bomb, you know, that kind of thing. As compared to a Scud missile that always misses. You know.
Yeah, but not that there's not. See, I don't grab mine not because it's cool. It's because if I put my hand on it, there's nothing left.
It's called the grip. It's two fingers up, one finger at the bottom. And I tell this to actually audience people listening that sometimes, and this is you'll bail me out on this, Dr. Drew, that a guy, if he's not quite erect and thinks he really can't quite do the job, I'll say, look, you just squeeze the base, make like a, they call that ring effect. You squeeze, pull back, squeeze the base, push forward. You then make it like a semi-erection. You can actually insert with that. And then once you're there, you start getting a real erection. And you can actually, I've had guys on sets go, well, I'm not quite ready for this. I said, you'd be surprised. Just give it the grip. Next thing you know, bingo, they could do the scene.
That's the Ron Jeremy Ron grip, everybody. Yeah. So is the grip, is that the second move, that kind of weird dip thing?
Yeah, that's the second move, yes.
Yeah, it only works in doggy.
That helps, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Ron's. Ron's was.
And you
got to
choke
the
chicken from
part.
Way back because they want to see the majority of the shaft, so you got to choke it from way back.
Sure, right, sure.
And it's photogenic. Mm-hmm. It gets a little reddish and the veins, you know, pop a little bit. And it's the people call it the Kung Fu grip. When I used to go on sets, guys would start singing Kung Fu Fighting as a joke.
And yeah. How many movies you reckon you've made now? Because you were having a little battle with what's his name with the big calves?
Tom Byron. Yes, he and I were both neck and neck at over. We both broke 1,000. Now I'm up to about 1,750 adult films, 55 mainstream films.
Oh yeah,
and 14 music videos that were all seen on MTV.
And what about what's Tom Byron at?
I think he's a little bit. I was a little bit ahead of him because he's slowed down.
Sure.
I got this contract with Metro, so now I keep working.
All right. Yeah. So Tom Byron, his only, really Ron's only real competition. Mm. And where does that stack up against your legends, your Johnny Wads?
We surpassed John Holmes a long time ago.
We did. You and your penis?
Oh, yes. Also, John made, you know, the joke was he switched to heroin and gay sex, which we call bad career judgment.
Yeah.
bad career management.
I hear he, I heard he did do that. I mean, did go
He died on my birthday. Is that bizarre?
A little bit, yeah.
He died late night, March 12th. I was born early morning, you know. Early morning, March 12th.
His story, not that I want to go off of... Well, it's really the only guy who had a bigger schlong than Ron.
That's depressing to think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's dead, so every white man in America moved up one notch.
Right.
If the biggest schmeckle dies, we all step up one notch.
Yeah.
That was a quote from Sam Kennison, by the way. I can't... Can't steal that one.
Except for, what's his name? What was the, Arab guy? That was,
Oh, yes, his name was Rambone.
Yeah, Dick Rambone.
He had his work, he had his done surgically, though.
Oh,
that guy,
sure.
Dr. Rosenstein in Culver City, they actually did that extension thing.
Dick Rambone had work done?
They had the thing where you take that ligament that's inside.
Yeah.
It was not a very successful thing, and people were, I'm sure, doctors like you were advising against it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rosenstein doesn't do it anymore. John Bobbitt went through that.
Oh, really?
We did the sequel to John Bobbitt Uncut called Frankenpenis. He had the operation done. His is done better, actually. Now we're doing a mainstream film with Robert De Niro playing John Bobbitt and Danny DeVito to play his penis.
No. Okay.
I made that up.
But, you know,
it's a joke. It's a joke, folks. Thank you very much. Rip shot. Okay.
All right. I don't want to get sidetracked too much here, but I'm going to get sidetracked a little bit, which is John Holmes, you know, is an interesting story. Interesting,
Boogie
but sad.
Nights, basically, right?
Yeah, but no, not well. Sort of, but
yeah,
I mean,
which I consulted. There's a new film out now with Val Kilmer, which discusses his trouble with the police and the vice. And
he
was involved in murders. He was involved in drug dealing. So he was involved in bad things.
He was going down to the airport and ripping off luggage.
You
like,
saw
the
documentary?
Yes,
that's correct. He did that.
And then he was sort of taking it on the lam and ripping off drug users and
he was involved
in
computer thefts.
That.
He was he was hiding out in Florida. He had a
criminal.
He was screwed up.
He was a criminal.
If he just kept to his movies and his nookie, he would have done just fine. You know?
Well, I think drugs probably played a good role in that. But I guess I keep thinking someone's got to do just a straight movie. I mean, a John Holmes movie.
Well, Boogie Nights was close to that.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg played John Holmes, basically. They even had a character.
Yeah, but his name wasn't John Holmes.
It was Dirk Diggler. But the character in there that he meets with that Arab-looking guy and he meets with the big black guy. That was basically supposed to be Greg Diles and supposedly Ed Nash. So they even had, you know, similar characters in there.
I'm saying there were, this was supposed to be that, but I mean, it wasn't that. His name was not John Holmes.
Right,
he didn't have a bad mustache, you know.
He
wasn't, I mean, I would watch a John Holmes
film
movie.
About his life.
Yeah,
I think they used the real names in this Val Kilmer film coming up. They actually used the real names.
Well, we'll look for that. Yeah.
Rumor had they're doing another one, supposedly. I heard there was rumors that maybe Johnny Depp might be doing another one. So who knows? But my documentary is nicer and more fun than John Holmes' documentary.
That's right. It's called Porn Star. When Ron was in here a year or so ago, we were plugging it and was playing it like the New Art and some other theaters around here. Got great reviews.
Nominated for Chicago Film Critics Award.
And
Roger Ebert and the critics out there.
Now it's on DVD. It's coming out tomorrow?
It's coming out tomorrow in stores around the country. All major video stores are going to carry it. I think Blockbuster as well. And I'm doing a signing tomorrow on Sunset Boulevard at... a Tower Video at 6 o'clock in the evening.
And is this uncut here? Like, what would this be rated?
There's two versions of it. The Blockbuster and some stores will have the rated one. That's rated R.
Right.
That one's the one that's unrated. And there's no hardcore scenes in it, but they have a little more nudity and more things discussing, you know, porn stars talking about me discussing body parts, things like that.
Does this go back? I mean, does this have archival footage?
Go
and
back?
Stuff like that?
My dad shot footage of me as a kid, which is crystal
screwing
clear.
Screwing who?
Color. No, I was actually a good boy back then, going to school.
Uh-oh.
Discusses my parents both being involved in the war.
Hold on, there's actual film of you not screwing stuff?
Wait, that's this correct. Is a piece I didn't know about you. Your parents were war survivors?
My mother was in the OSS, which became the CIA. And she was a lieutenant, and that's in the documentary.
We talked about this last
My dad
time.
Was a fighter in the Philippines. I had cousins who died as heroes, got Purple Hearts, Medal of Honors. Yeah, a lot of that's in there. Huh. My whole family's all veterans, the whole family.
Well, you know? now you're a veteran, too.
Yeah, of
many,
all of the whole...
Many veterans.
And also, I was a master's degree student at Queens College as a teacher.
Yeah.
So it's a very unusual story for a porn actor, but people find it to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, I think we all do. All right. And like I said, big fan of Madam's Family as well. You know.
Which is where I played Uncle Pester.
Yeah, it was great. He couldn't see. He was wearing a cloak. His penis was out. He did that guide-in move, you know.
That too, I believe, is a Metro Studios picture, actually.
Silk?
Yeah, hey, Adam, what's up?
You're 13?
Yep.
What's up?
All right. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
You're 13 years old?
Yeah, I'm 13.
Have you gotten your bar mitzvah yet? He's not Jewish.
I got it when I was a baby.
Oh, you are Jewish.
No, it's not.
Okay,
no,
it's not. Okay, good.
All right. Well, I got
Jews are too smart to listen to this show, Ron.
Okay.
Hey, Ron, I got two questions for you.
Shoot.
All right. The first one is how you got the name Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm. That was because my back is a little bit hairy. They're actually cute creatures. You ever see those guys in zoos?
Yeah, they're
Bill Margle gave me that name. Bill Margle gave it to me.
Yeah,
you know, and this guy, Andre Madness, also kept the name going. And there's just a, from riding, you know, I was riding a motorcycle up into the Lake Arrowhead to shoot a movie, not knowing it's cold up there. And then I was frozen. They threw me in a shower, came out looking all pink and furry. So Bill Margo goes, look, it's a hedgehog. That's how it came along.
Bill Margo?
He gave Bill Margold, he gave me the name.
Oh.
And his director, Andre Madness, kept the name going. You know.
All right, Silk, what's number two?
Oh, all right. And my second question is what film you enjoyed the best? And, you know, I know.
Taboo 2!
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is your personal favorite? If you had, like, when you're going through the pearly gates,
uh-huh.
and you got one porn.
I won't discuss this. I go through the pearly gates. I hope they don't ask me that.
St. Peter
questions.
Says, look, you've done 1,700 porn movies. I just want to see one. Which one are you proudest of?
Who's the later ones? I guess, again, it's a Metro title called San Fernando Joan and the Temple of Poon. It'll be a Metro, yeah, that or the
Why?
Three.
Why?
It'd be the three episodes of On the Loose at Sunset.
Why?
Well,
why?
Because
about,
they're more recent. The humor's better. It's wittier. It's me going through crowds of people all grabbing me and stuff. Three are reality shows. And the San Fernando Jones got a great storyline. It's a funny, funny movie.
But
a lot of great jokes in it.
But what about, and this is what you got to love about Ron. This is modesty. Because if he named some of his earlier titles.
I was skinnier then.
He was a little skinnier, a little younger.
Harder to find them,
then.
Too.
Harder to, yeah, well, that's my point. But no, he worries about his craft. He doesn't worry what he looks like with his underpants down. He worries about the overall project.
The experience.
See me looking at my best. You'd have to go, I guess, the one that's in the documentary, Fascination.
Which do you enjoy making the most?
I also like Deep Throat 2 a lot. I like when they have really fun stories when you travel around the world. The Hawaiian films are good. Hawaiian Vice.
Oh, yeah.
I got a chance to go to Kauai and Maui. I mean, you know, I traveled all over the world, you know, on some of these movies. And that was always kind of fun, you know?
Yes,
and often you have some beautiful, beautiful women. I like working with Tabitha Stevens, my favorite, and Christy Canyon, all those
Who's
girls.
Your favorite?
Tabitha Stevens, by far.
Yeah.
She's been on your show, hasn't she? She's featured heavily in the documentary, too.
She is. In yours. All right, I'll beat off to that.
Yeah. Oh, well, nothing wrong with that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And my five favorite mainstream films that I was in was Orgasmo, South Park Guys.
Yeah.
Detroit Rock City, which is shown in the documentary with Adam Rifkin's film. And, of course, an underground cult film called Boondock Saints with Willem Dafoe.
Wow.
Mm. Studio 54 had a little cameo with Mike Meyer. And Killing Zoe, Roger Avery's movie.
When's Studio 54 coming out?
Came out. Mike Meyer, Salma Hayek. I had a couple of lines.
Out?
In the, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I had a couple of lines in the Kochak room.
I feel like an asshole now. Yeah. That's right. And, I mean, come on, Boogie Nights. That's the best.
A great, great film. I had a scene that was cut. I had a scene that was in prison.
So you were in it, though, weren't
My
you?
My name's in the credits. I consulted it. I worked with the director on it.
Christina?
Yeah.
Christina, what's up? 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have something wrong with me. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had sex with two different guys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've done other things besides sex, and I just have never had an orgasm.
That would be normal 16-year-old experience.
Okay.
I agree.
Few 16-year-olds have, females have orgasms.
There's nothing I can do about this.
Well, you will. Your sort of biology will sync up late teens, early 20s, makes it easier. One of the things you can do now is get a stable relationship going and sort of work it out with somebody, try to figure out what works for you and that kind of thing.
You have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you endorse masturbation? Because I think girls who masturbate can learn how to climax
better.
They
can, but interestingly, girls like Christina, they'll go, ooh, masturbate, I'm not interested. I can't understand
it. So you would suggest when they have a certain age or when they feel like they should do it?
Well, if they're willing to do it, it would help them. But they literally, because it doesn't sync up with an emotional experience,
right.
It just like doesn't fit. They're like not interested. They don't have the drive to do it.
Looking at media, like they'll see Brad Pitt in the movie.
They don't like looking at things. They like reading stuff about it.
Well, don't put words in your mouth. Yeah. Christina?
No, interesting.
No, it's true. But what about masturbation? Ever try that?
No, I have not.
No. All right.
Are you interested in doing that?
I wouldn't really know how to.
Then wait. No rush.
It's interesting. A guy's like, you know, driven to do it. This is the core difference in male-female biology right here.
I agree.
And and nowhere are they further apart than around age 19. You know what I mean?
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Christina?
Yeah.
Does your boyfriend give you oral sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. You like that?
No, I do not like that at all.
All right. Well, look, if you're not enjoying it, it's because you're sick. Yeah, let me say this. Trying to think. But, like, as a guy, okay. As a guy, you start drinking beer 14, 15 years old. You don't like it till you're 23. I mean, you like the buzz that you're getting when you're 15, but you sure as hell don't like the way Mickey's Big Mouth tastes when you're 15, 16 years old. But you push through. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying if you're a 15-year-old guy, 16-year-old guy, and you don't like the way beer tastes, don't drink beer. Drink it later when you're going to like it. And if you're a 15, 16-year-old chick who doesn't like sex and is not getting off on it, doesn't appreciate it, don't do it.
Hmm. There you go.
What a utopia we'd live in if every 16-year-old guy didn't feel like he had to shove that beer down his mouth and every 15-year-old girl didn't feel like she had to shove that penis down her mouth.
Don't girls get more usually into having romance earlier ages than guys do?
They like the romance.
Yeah,
guys often go, when they're like, you know, up to 15, 16, 17 years old. And, you know,
yeah, women
testosterone
like
testosterone makes you orgasm-driven, visual, want to isolate, irritable. I mean, it's not a connecting hormone.
And one of the biggest problems is also the upbringing is mismatched. Mm-hmm. Most parents, they raise the boy to go get him, son, make your dad proud. They raise the girl, don't you
know
dare.
What? No, you don't. Not anymore. You don't have to anymore. In fact, you're encouraging the girl, like, everything's okay. Don't be ashamed of anything. They're not interested. The guy, you're like taking paper, hitting. Come on, get your hands
so
off that.
So that 20 years ago upbringing, so probably changed. People are probably going to get more even now, huh?
No, the point is it doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't matter.
The biology that dictates the whole thing.
Right.
All right, let's talk to Jonas. Jonas?
Yeah.
You're 22?
What's up? I had no real question. I just wanted to give a little respect to Ron. The very first porn I masturbated to was Charlie. And the second one I masturbated to was Taboo 2.
Yeah.
A lot of Taboo 2 fans here.
Oh, yeah. And the third one was that one where you sold your soul to the devil to have sex with any woman you wanted.
Great film.
That was a documentary. What do you mean?
No, it was called
The Adam Carolla Story.
That was a great film. It was called... They weren't going to call Devil and Mr. Jones, but someone else took that title. So
don't they retitle a lot of these things?
They try not to. Titles are funny as heck, aren't they?
Yeah, but all right. Well, hold on a second. I got to get back to Spank Me, F Me, because I was reading a review in the only magazine. There's two magazines I subscribe to, Carn Driver and Score, I think. And Score's a big jug magazine.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and Larry Flint was in here, remember?
Is that the one he gave you?
Yeah, he was Score. The editor of... maybe it wasn't Score. No, maybe it was Busty.
Yes, this is
Busty. And I said, Larry, come on, buddy. Give me Busty. Give me a subscription to Busty or I'll knock you over. And he gave me...
Wrong.
Yeah, he
gave me... a guy in a wheelchair.
And he gave me
Adam, I'd like to. Adam, yeah. But
no, he did. He did. And I was looking through the movie reviews, and I saw this movie called Spank Me, F me. And it didn't just say F me. It said the entire F word on there. I just can't say it on the radio. And I thought, there's Ron, and he's with Minka. And I said, wow, my favorite guy's with Minka.
I know how to get to that title now. I know how to get to that.
You said
Kayla
that
Cleavage produced that film.
Kayla Cleavage is in this, too.
I know the film. I could definitely get to that movie.
Now, I'm watching, and it's great.
The girls' names are as funny as the title.
But do you like films with humongously?
I like the big cans. And it's a great.
Bouncy.
It was a great review because it said, Ron having to handle Kayla Cleavage's sizable bosom is also used to handling his sizable gut. So it was a little slap in the face.
But then
they always go a little racial too, which was he gave Minka a shot of mooshu pork or something, right? And I said,
oh my God,
I got to get hold of this movie. I thought, and you know, Drew, I'm not a man of action.
Yeah, except
when it comes to beating off, then I'm MacArthur.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to get this movie. I'm going to go. I don't know how to work the computer. And so I called. There's this video store. This video store, they got all kinds of dirty movies. But it's not just a dirty movie store. It has everything.
It's a video store.
It's like 2020.
They have an adult section like most have.
Yeah. Right. And I call them up. And I'm like, all of a sudden you get all serious. I'd like to inquire about an adult title. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, spank me, F me. And there's like long silence.
That was limited distribution because Kayla produced that and distributed it.
Yeah, no S. It was limited. And then, so there's like a long pause, and the guy's like, pardon me? And I'm like, it's called Spank Me, F Me. I'm saying F Me. I don't want to say the entire word.
I'm going to get you that movie.
And the guy's like, excuse me, what? And then I say the whole word. I say, spank me, F me. And I say the whole word, and he hangs up. And I thought, why do they have to humiliate me this way? What's in it for you? You had a sale. You lost the sale because you got a ridiculous title. Why don't you just, you know, call it Hugs and Kisses or something.
No one will buy it.
I can't buy it now. It's got the F word written on it. It's, you know what I mean? It's like trying to smuggle a clown out of the video store.
The guy that just called up, his title, the film he liked with me playing Sold My Soul to the Devil, that's called Flesh and Fantasy. That's the name of that movie. I just remember that.
Fine.
That's a nice title, right?
I know. See, I could call the place. Pardon me. It's an adult title. It's called Flesh and Fantasy. But spank me, F me. The guy yells at me and hangs up.
There's a very big-breasted line called, which I'm going to get for you, which is in Metro Mix, called More Than a Handful. Now, that's a nice title.
Yeah.
More Than a Handful? Okay, so I can get you one of those.
Give me that, please.
Anything from Metro, I can get you whatever you like.
Well, give me the spank
they're
me
my company.
Give me the spank me, F me, Ron.
I'll get you that. That's from Cleveco. It's Kev Cleavage's company. I'll get you that.
She's dynamite lady. I'm a big fan of yours.
And Larry, by the way, is in my documentary. Larry Flint is really funny in my documentary. He's also in deleted scenes. Him and his brother's in it. Jimmy Flint calls me and Al Goldstein gay and just makes jokes about it. He just makes jokes about it.
That is coming out on a DVD called Porn Star, The Legend of Ron Jeremy. And Ron, see if we make a call during the break. We can get that spank me, F me move in this direction. You know,
I swear to God, I'm going to get
to
that.
I know, but you know what happens? You leave. I don't see you for another 18 months.
Why ritual. Can't you call?
All right, I got to call you anyway because I got an idea for you.
Uh-oh.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it just cracks me up when I see our guest with a chair on the floor. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
There's barely enough room in this studio for me and my penis.
I know. Oh, your penis is in here?
No, it's out parking the car.
That's what I thought. I saw a shadowy figure behind the wheel of the town car. I wasn't sure. It looked like Ron's penis.
Actually, I have a tattoo on my penis. Of a bigger penis.
First time I met Ron, he goes, do you want to know what a man with a big penis has for breakfast?
Oh, that's
first,
right.
That's his opening, that's right. Opening shot. That's Ron Jeremy.
Well, tell him what I said.
I had toast, bacon, bread, a couple of eggs.
The other joke is, this is Ron Jeremy for Life Alert. I slipped on my penis and I can't get up. Okay, I'm sorry.
Ron.
Okay.
What the? Oh, and by the way, this close.
There we go.
This close to retiring on the way out of this dump last night when...
When I stepped on a plank.
Yeah, there's nothing but... No, that's plywood you stepped on, Drew.
Plank.
Yeah, this whole place is under construction. You have to walk down to this corridor filled with plywood and planks and rusty nails in order to get out of here. And we're leaving, and I'm a step behind Drew, and Drew steps we're stepping down onto the street, and Drew steps on the front of the 3-foot piece of plywood, and I'm just starting to step on the back, and it pops up.
That's a Three Stooges routine.
Yeah.
How do you actually you have to plan that.
I know.
And I boot it with my shin and almost go ass over teapot into the street.
Then he stood in the middle of the street announcing that he was angry that I hadn't scored, hadn't dumped him over, so he could sue Westwood One, the city, everybody, and retire.
This is my dream. I wish that I'd broken an ankle and that I could just get on SSI for the rest of my career.
Help me with this, guys, but breaking an ankle doesn't stop you from doing radio. Am I correct about this?
I would have a sizable lawsuit.
Not a very physical job you have here.
I've been complaining that I'm going to sue as soon as something goes wrong out in this the Baton Death March we have to take every goddamn night out of this dump. And I just wish I had these cat-like reflexes. That's my problem, Drew. If I'd been able to think fast enough, I just would have went down.
Yeah.
Guys, this is a labor of love. Who are you kidding? Adam, if you and Dr. Yeah. Both made huge lawsuit settlements, wouldn't you still do this anyway?
Yeah. It depends what the settlement was.
I just got an in chorus. That was very nice. I still think you guys would.
Yeah,
you
know? We love the show. What can we say?
Because you look at you're benefiting kids all over the country. It's nice. You
know? Yeah. And hawking stuff like
it's being
porn
copied
star,
everywhere. You know,
the legend of Ron Jeremy, by the way, which is out on DVD. And this is no goof. This is a legitimate documentary. And there's
big signing tomorrow on Sunset Boulevard at the Tower Video, 6
Tower
p.m.
The Tower Record?
Yeah, Tower Video. It's right next to Tower Records. Yeah. They got a big sign up too, which would be nice.
Nothing better than a good documentary. And by the way, I just want to give a plug out for something I watched when I got home tonight, which is Killing Pablo. It was Pablo Escobar, the drug lord over there in Colombia. That whole two-hour documentary on it on the History Channel.
I was watching that.
Spectacular. My God, what this guy did. He would blow up commercial airliners and stuff. He literally, I mean, he would kill thousands of people. You know, if you got in his way, if some judge said he was going to try to indict him, he'd blow up the whole federal building. Oof. He blew up a commercial flight with 110 people on it.
Sheesh.
I mean, you know, DC-10 kind of thing.
Which, really? Do you know which airline that was? Which one that was?
It was a Colombian airline. It was a regular commercial jet, not some prop plane or anything. I mean, it's regular commercial jet.
I got a fascinating thing to tell you guys real quickly. Different subject about what's going on in the world right now. Do you know, remember that thing back in 1990? Speaking of airplanes, 1994? A guy flew an airplane into the White House lawn.
Yeah.
Remember that? We all felt sorry for the guy. I figured some poor putz who was just off course, misguided, but nothing stopped him. No airlines got him. He wasn't shot out of the space. He just landed on the lawn.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it turns out that, you know, Clinton was in the White House at the time, might have been in the Oval Office. Had he actually made it into the wall, he maybe could have hurt the president. And turns out we find out that the guy was Pakistani Muslim. And this is going to kill you. You know the date in 94 that it happened?
September 11th.
Right.
Really?
Is that amazing? And no one even knows that. I've had guys go, no, Ron, and they look it up.
Interesting.
Which lets you believe that this might have been going on for 10, 12 years. You know, some of these radical Muslims learning how to fly planes. And 1994, September 11th, when that guy flew into the White House lawn. Check. Isn't that wild?
Interesting.
Well, the whole part where they told the flight schools, not interested in landing. Had to be just a little bit of a flag that goes off in the instructor's head. Yeah. I mean, really? I mean, and you want to sort of announce that part?
No, not all right.
Just show me how to take it off and fly.
No, they don't take off either. They need to know that either.
Yeah, right.
Just the steering.
That's true, too. Yeah. But they probably...
Some of the sucker does that part of the job.
Probably
you know.
Said they need to learn that part just to try to keep some semblance of reality. Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I had my daughter about a year ago, actually a year and a month, and when I was in the hospital, they gave me my Depo-Provera shot, and I thought it was just the hormones and stuff like that, that I didn't have a sex drive at all. Mm. It's like the idea of sex was just, no, just don't even come near me.
Right, it seems, you see people kissing on television, it looks kind of weird, like, whoa, why? Yeah. Wow,
and, the doctor told me it's okay, it's a temporary kind of thing, it'll wear off, give the shot some time, and it'll set in, and it never did.
And no, the progesterone shot can, in some women actually enhances their sex drive, but most women it really shut them down.
Yeah, and it was actually about 2 weeks before I was supposed to get my next shot, I would get a sex drive back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally figured out that it was a shot that was doing this.
So what's the question?
I got on the patch, and the same thing happened, and I was wondering if there's any kind of hormonal contraception that I can take that won't do that.
You're going to want to work with weaker progesterones, probably. More estrogen, less progesterone. And maybe something simple like Ortho, Novum, something mostly estrogenic.
Just try the pill?
Yeah.
The pill?
Well, the pills that are predominantly estrogenic.
Do they dial the patches in, too?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get whatever you want in a patch?
No, the patches are mixed.
Aren't the pills progesterone?
They're both. Well, some that are just progesterone. Most are a mix, but some have predominant.
But here's what I'm saying. You can get what you want in a pill.
Yes.
Can you get what you want in a patch?
Not yet.
No.
Why not?
Because they're just one patch or a couple patches.
All right, and there's just one depot shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there is a combo shot out, but it got pulled off the market for a while.
All right.
And so,
Ashley, you're going to have to go the pill then, baby doll.
Okay.
All right, how's that kid doing?
She's doing really good. She's getting so big.
How old?
A year and a month.
You married?
Yes, I am.
All right.
A Navy man.
Ooh, is he overseas?
No, not yet.
I think
we actually think his ship's going to leave in about a month.
Wow.
What kind of ship is he on?
He is on the USS Constellation.
What is that?
Aircraft carrier, huh?
Is that a big one? It's one I've heard of, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an aircraft carrier?
Yes.
All right.
I think it's actually out right now, and he's not on it.
That's a good sign.
They're training him for an aircraft. He works on helicopters.
Wow. Oh, he fixes them?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good times.
Did you see the video phone footage of the aircraft carrier deck with the stuff just taking off one after the other?
It's unbelievable. I've seen it a bunch of times.
Whoa.
I mean, just the action on the aircraft deck?
Yeah, I've never seen action like that.
It was just, you mean taking off that
just
fast?
One. I mean, just
they can get a lot in the air if they're moving. Yeah,
those Depo Bavera shots you were talking about. These are things to help with the sex drive. Sometimes
they, in some women, will increase the sex drive. My experience, it tends to shut them down. It's a birth control.
You know what I would prescribe? The unrated version of my documentary. I'm sorry.
How much nudity do we see in the unrated version?
A lot of cute girls. Oh, a lot of nudity with women.
Yeah,
full
right.
frontal. It's no hardcore, but there's a lot of nudity in
all
it.
Right. And
it's a sexy show. There must be hundreds of girls in it. You know,
it goes back. It spans your career.
It starts when I was a baby.
I know, but
yes, the entire career from start to finish. Yes.
Good times, good times.
As well as the teaching career and everything.
Interview any of your old students or anything?
No, actually, that would have been a good idea, though. No.
Miles?
Wouldn't that have been interesting?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's that?
Huh?
All right, buddy.
What's up, Miles?
You got a question?
I was having sex with my girlfriend about a week ago.
No.
Yeah. Don't believe
but
it.
Go ahead and ask the question anyway.
And my condom broke.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that she might be pregnant, and I wanted to know what my options were. Yeah.
I would have asked her, when is her period? I mean, when is she...
Really, it doesn't matter. If a condom breaks, it's time to use the morning after pill.
What kind of condom was it?
Yeah.
Trojan.
Yeah.
Trojans don't break.
What color was the package?
What color? Purple.
Love Aha!
Brought to you by Trojan.
All right, and it broke, and that was a week ago.
Yeah.
How old's your girlfriend?
She's 15.
All right, and now you're just going to have to wait.
Yeah, now it doesn't really matter. You can take the morning after pill really up to 5 days out. It's shown to have some effect.
Is that progesterone? What's the morning after pill?
Yeah, one of them is. Plan B is progesterone, Provenz is a combo. And it prevents the egg from being released from the ovary. And so you have 3 days, because sperm just sits up there for three days waiting for the egg to get released. And
Does douching help? I had heard from a doctor who actually was a fertility doctor that it's not that easy to get pregnant when you're not ovulating.
Right, but there's no way to tell when they've ovulated.
But isn't ovulating almost always in the middle of the cycle or close to it?
Most women, but not necessarily.
Usually.
Can there be a woman who can actually ovulate right after the period or before it?
Sometimes.
I heard that's so rare, though.
That's unusual, yeah.
Yeah, it's just,
so wouldn't it make this guy feel better to ask her what her cycle is to at least sleep a little bit easier at night?
Well, yes, but there's nothing you can do anyway.
Right. It makes you feel better. At least more comfortable.
I agree with Ron, and it's something that doctors don't like to do, but shut your trap for a second.
I agree with you. You should not advise that, no.
No, but here's what doctors do, and I understand why you guys do it, but we don't want you to do it as a society, which is if there's a, in terms of things like getting pregnant or dying, 5%, 3%, that's substantial, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys just say there's a probability or there's a medium chance or whatever, but that's not what we're asking for in life. We want to know, hey, if it's 95% chance that you're not going to get pregnant unless you're ovulating, or it's 100% chance you're not going to get pregnant unless you're ovulating, and 95% of women do it, in the 2 weeks in the middle, you know, from the period to the next in that middle section there, then it's a substantial number, and it's one that we'd like to know about. And I know the sort of party line is always, look, wear a condom every time and don't worry about when it is, because you can it can happen anytime. But and we don't want people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want people just having sex and trying to time it, because Lord knows they're going to screw up. But in a situation like this, I think Ron brings up a valid point.
It'll make him feel a little bit better.
Here's the other.
He should still not be careless the next time
right.
around.
Just say, right. It is valid to do timing. The timing does decrease the risks. But he didn't ask, what are my risks? He asked, what are my options? And his options are, you know.
Right. But yeah. I think Ron made a good point. Miles?
Yeah?
Do you know when her period is?
No.
All right.
He would have known to ask. He would have known, yeah.
All right. Ron made a good point, but it was moot anyway. Let's take ourselves a
all my points
break.
Are moot.
Oh, I know, but hey, you know what I'm tired of, Drew, in the society?
Political correctness.
Everybody scaring everybody into
everything.
You have sex. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't care if you have sex with someone who just got off the boat from Nairobi who was effing monkeys, gay monkeys, right? Or you have sex with a white 15-year-old virgin from Reseda. You can get a. I don't like that. I want to know the odds. I want them to say you have a much greater chance.
The odds
of
the Nairobi is much worse.
Yeah, and
we think it'd be cookies in front of them either way, or a bar of soap. You know.
Yeah, it's sort of got started with the sort of retarded left thinking. Look, these people aren't smart enough to handle the truth, and the right does this too. We're just going to give them. We'll just paint these doomsday scenarios all the time, and that way they won't do anything. Well, people do.
You're so right. You know, the CDC in Georgia at one time, you know, which is the number one basic authority on a lot of this stuff. They actually, when I was calling them years ago when HIV first came out, they were actually saying that it's equally transferable girl to guy to girl. Because that's politically correct to say that. But I knew that was wrong.
Right.
That the risk is way, way greater guy to girl or guy to guy.
You ever have a scare?
But they were trying to say that a girl to guy can go just as easily. And that was an out-and-out lie. Because they figured if you make it look like it's just gay or drug use or whatever, it wouldn't be as heavily treated.
And then
the problem with that is
then you have adolescent young adults who figure out that was a lie, who go, well, I screw everything they have to say.
Right.
So
you can be politically correct to some extent, but you still got to tell some truth there.
Is HIV, don't answer this yet, but I'll pose the question when we come back from the break. You can
cliffhanging,
tell me
okay.
If HIV is still relevant in the adult film industry and people are still scared of it. All right, Ron Jeremy is our guest, and we'll be back with the answer to that. Many other questions after this. Everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. That's Ron Jeremy in the background. Ron is a veteran of, I don't know, 1,700 porn movies or something.
55 mainstream movies.
Yeah.
14 music videos.
All played on MTV.
6 HBO specials.
Oh. All played on MTV. Porn star, the legend of Ron Jeremy, is out on DVD. He's going to be doing a signing tomorrow on Sunset.
At the Tower Video, 6 p.m.
Shut up, Drew. Go ahead, please. Drew, what is your... Why do you got to... Up. I don't mind you talking, but what do you always want to talk? Don't let the plug go through, would you?
Actually, what was you going to say? I like what he's... What was you going to say?
No, he's got nothing to say.
Refuse to talk.
No, Drew, but we've gone through this 1,000 times. I'm giving a phone number out, and you're chiming in. It's like, you got to let that part go and then say whatever you want to say. The guest is saying where he's doing a signing tomorrow.
He can talk anytime he likes. I think he's the best thing for adolescent kids
horrible.
Around the country.
Hey, he's good at that, but everything else. All right, Drew, seriously, do you have anything to say?
No.
Good.
Hey, how about?
And by the way, co-starring in this documentary of cameos with Gene Simmons, Rodney Dangerfield, John Lovitz, Kid Rock. It's a lot of fun folks in there.
Yeah.
A lot of sexy women.
Rodney Dangerfield was such a colossal ass on this show, though. Remember
he
that?
Was on the show?
Yeah.
With his wife?
How long ago?
Oh, a couple years.
Years,
ago. Yeah.
He just did a film with
he was
him
on
called
the TV
Back
show
at Midnight.
Too,
yeah.
He's got a film coming out called Back at Midnight.
Good. I hope you do well, but I hope everything he does
tails. There's a film out now, by the way, which is about methamphetamines, which is right now called Spun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in that.
Oh, yeah.
I play a bartender.
Yeah,
I have a couple of quick lines in it. Mickey Rourke's in it, John Leguizamo, Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
So you'll see me in the movie. You'll laugh. Nice little credits at the end. Bartender, Ron Jeremy.
It's nice. You know what I like? I like when they go in alphabetical order on the credits. And I don't know what movie I was watching, but there must have been 128 people, like, you know, cab driver and cab patron and bartender and bartender, you know, number 5, bathroom attendant. It really was 125 people before they got to Meryl Streep. And I thought, I think the alphabetical thing is cool, but if your last name starts with an S, and there's a whole bunch of folks
they
in front of
Meryl Streep earlier, though. They had to have
it. No, no. It wasn't Meryl Streep, but it was somebody like that, and it was like a, it was literally, without exaggeration, it was their name. The star of the thing was 21st on the list, and it was a bunch of people. Didn't even have titles. I mean, they were
That's
just like...
foolish.
Yeah,
don't
bar
touch
patron.
That. Don't touch
What's
that.
The matter?
We were going to have this discussion about HIV and the...
Oh, yeah, the cliffhanging.
And that's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, yeah. Shut
Poor
up,
people
Drew.
Are always...
Hold
concerned.
On a second, Drew. Don't give me that crap. Oh, yes, you wanted to get to that, and that's a good impulse.
We
but
are
you still can't come in before the plugs.
Yes, sir, Ms.
Please,
Cole.
Don't cut the plugs off.
In fact, I can add to the plug. In the documentary, which is coming out tomorrow, they do have a scene where I get my blood test. They see me pacing the floor because that was years ago, and it was always scary to get the test.
Was it?
Now we get used to it a little more. Now we get PCR DNA tests.
Is it relevant?
Porn business is always concerned. And
are there people that are positive?
No, we haven't had any problem in years. You know, we had problems years ago. You know, but you know, we get a test called a PCR DNA. We don't get the regular ELISA test, so our tests cut down the window period to what, less than a week?
Couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So we're pretty careful. Now we're getting tested for everything. You know, all major STDs. So we're pretty safe industry. And plus, you can always agree that when you ejaculate outside the body, you're cutting down some of the risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still some with the pre, you know, but we're pretty careful.
Yeah, but still.
Some companies are rubbers only. Metro, who I work with, Metro Studios, they allow condom option. It's up to the girl to choose. Hmm. So some scenes have them, some scenes don't. The audiences don't like to see it, though.
Yeah.
In Europe, films don't sell. I mean, the average guy, I mean, people say no one cares, but you talk to the average public, they don't really want to see a lot of rubbers in a movie.
No, not the porn public.
Yeah, so testing is advisable, and Sharon Mitchell over at AIM has been very good about that, keeping tabs with everybody, and we all get tested with her. And
speaking of AIM, I mean, I know you're ejaculating outside of the body, but it's getting in through the ear, it's infecting the brain, it's getting in through the eye and the nasal cavities. I mean,
not my scenes.
It's outside.
Yeah, well, it's not a Metro movie, that's for sure. No, we're pretty careful.
All right. They said in this review I was reading of Spank Me, F Me, that you did a little countdown. No, you told the girl the countdown for 10.
I always
10.
Do that. I'm famous for that.
That's
also in a documentary. 300 people counting down at the Houston gang scene. You know,
starting from 10?
20 or 10, either one.
Oh, really? 20?
And right on zero, bingo.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it works.
Last thing the girl says is, thanks, Ron. Thank you.
Baby, count down from 10. 10.
No good, no good.
So you can have count down from 20?
I do it all the time.
All right, let's try it right now. Ready? Drew, count down.
No. It's the last thing you want to see.
Drew, pull up your top and count down.
Yes, sir, Miss Grohl.
Oh, that's a nice visual. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
He's got no hair on him. He'd be fine for you.
Oh, my God.
All right. Ever get approached to do gay porn?
Yes, I have. Years
they,
and
offer,
years ago.
They offer good
That's
money?
In a documentary also. They offered me a Ferrari.
Really?
One company, Leisure Time, offered me a Ferrari to do a gay movie.
Wow.
It's in there. It's one of the extras, too. They discussed that. I turned it down.
All right.
Because I wouldn't be able to. If I look at some guy's hairy behind, I want to give him a shave.
Right.
Plus, I've seen my hairy behind on a widescreen. No suspecting homosexual would want to do me.
Right.
And say, Ronnie, sorry, we're not that gay.
Well, there is that bear mentality.
Yes, the bears. I've heard about that. The guys who go for the chunkier, hairier guy.
Oh, yeah, Bear like Magazine. Type, yeah, you know? Jimmy's got a whole spread in
there. So maybe there's a bunch
the
of guys who might want to do me. You know, I don't know, but...
Jimmy's in Bear Magazine.
I'm glad if anybody finds me attractive. I don't care.
In the June issue,
we got go to
whole
break
spread. Whole spread on Jimmy.
All right, Jacob.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
22, what's up?
Hey, first of all, Adam and Dr. Drew, I have an autograph from you guys when you guys were at the Tower Records in Northridge, like 5 or 6 years ago.
All right.
And
I don't remember.
Whoa!
What were you promoting?
Oh, my God!
I do, but that was like, that must have been like 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah. What were you promoting, the show?
Well, all I know is I met you guys at, behind the Tower Records. Adam was smoking a cigarette and wrote me a little note that said, quit bothering Drew.
All right.
Anyways,
see, always looking out for my man.
The question I have for you is, about 2 nights ago, my girlfriend and I were fooling around. She went down on me. I came. But right after that, we had sex with no condom on.
There you go.
And the question I have for you is, after the sperm hit air, did it die, or do I have to worry about her being pregnant?
You should be concerned about her being pregnant. Plus, there's plenty of sperm in the urethra hanging around there.
Yeah, what does he mean sperm hit air?
as though it dies instantly when it hits the outside world. So if it's not goes, if it doesn't go directly into a vagina, it dies.
I know. He means that there's some of it that was after he let go.
Yes, there's some.
He
around.
Then did an insertion, yes. So there was some little bit around yes. the edge of his penis.
Yeah, but I don't see. Yeah. It didn't hit the air. I mean, yeah, they're still coming out of the urethra.
Yeah, his fantasy is that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. It's horrible.
Well, how long would it be able to last? Let's say you had
it.
It
dries out, basically.
So basically, if he had it on the tip of his penis and nothing in the urethra, let's say, mm-hmm. and then let's say half an hour later, he starts to insert.
There still could be stuff in the urethra, though.
Oh, right. Interesting. And Ron?
Yes, sir.
You used to go down to the AFE building or the Cinderella building in
yes.
Chatsworth.
Yes, I did.
My sister used to work there.
What's her name?
I don't want to say it on the air.
Oh, first name?
Shaney.
Sounds familiar.
He did her.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So listen, get the morning after pill. Did this happen just a few days ago?
Hopefully.
All right, Jacob.
People should have that morning after pill in their medicine cabinet. They should have that like a fire extinguisher in your house.
Guys and girls both.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I
was talking to the Trojan people. I was trying to get them to start packaging them together. I think that's the future.
It gets me angry every time I bring it up. We got to take a break. Ron Jeremy here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Jeremy is our guest tonight. Ron, the veteran of 1,700 or so adult film features, and a good all-around guy. I'd say definitely one of the most interesting characters in the adult film industry by a long shot. He's got a DVD out. It's called Porn Star. It's actually coming out tomorrow. It's the Legend of Ron Jeremy, and it's not a porn film. It's an interesting documentary that's been critically very well received, and he's going to be at the Tower Sunset signing these copies.
What 6 p.m.
6 p.m. tomorrow. So,
then I go to Chicago Wednesday, New York on Thursday, Friday, and Toronto on Saturday.
Go see Ron. Ron, not scared of a little hard work, by the way. Never doesn't mind just getting out there and doing his thing.
Just afraid of colonoscopies. Yeah.
We had an interesting conversation during the commercial, which is Ron is of the age where it's time to get a colonoscopy.
Oh, gosh.
And he's dreading it. It's really funny to see a guy. See, here's the thing, and here's
I've never been an insertee. I've been an inserter. That's why.
Yeah, I'm just saying, generally, people...
It's karma. It's karma.
People,
I deserve it.
People have difficulty with it, you know, because it's embarrassing and there's nudity involved and they feel sort of vulnerable and that kind of stuff. It goes against, you know, if you're a librarian, it sort of goes against your sensibilities, I guess. But, Ron, it would seem like you'd be better conditioned and better suited for a... procedure like this.
I figured if you go get these MRIs and virtuals and things, they tell you certain things, right?
They tell you if you have cancer.
What?
If you have cancer.
Drew, how far away are we from that kind of day where we can leave our pants on and go stand in some sort of screening, scanning
room?
For
everything.
It's still,
check for everything. We're a million miles away from
it. Well, MRI is actually the closest thing. MRIs and CAT scans, all those things.
Yeah, but people mistake anatomy for pathophysiology and abnormal disease states. I mean, anatomy only tells you so much.
What is the colonoscopy? What does that require?
That requires you being asleep and then putting a tube 9 feet long up your...
Is it nine?
Yeah.
9 feet?
Yeah.
Why does it need to be 9 feet?
Can you ever get ill because... Can that thing make you ill? Can that thing ever screw you around?
Yeah, I mean, rarely you can puncture the colon, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I mean, really rarely.
A healthy person, I mean... No. Would there be any other sign of a problem besides that?
No. That's why you have to go in there and look. There's no sign.
That's got a camera and a light on it.
Yeah, it's fiber optic.
And it just goes 9 feet up. Yeah.
People would have like blood sometimes. That would be a sign.
Sometimes, but the point is that is why you got to look.
Are you knocked out during this procedure?
You're knocked out. I've had it. It's not that big a deal.
What do they do? Use a cheek spreader? How do they keep the cheek spread?
The thing is rigid enough to keep things
And they just keep feeding it in.
Keep feeding it in.
And are they're looking as they're feeding?
My mom will just kill me right now.
you inflate, too. You pump air in, so you inflate it all.
Kill me right now.
Just a little compressed air in there?
Yeah.
But it is so important because it lets you know pre-existing. If you catch certain things way in advance, you will save yourself.
There is no reason people should die of colon cancer in this day and age, and it's still one of the leading causes of death. It's ridiculous.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, the prostate cancer was a big one.
It is a big one, but colon is one of the big ones.
A tomato a day is good for prostate cancer?
That's good for prostate cancer, but, you know, Jews particularly get colon cancer. And
Jews do? Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah, that's great. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I thought we were the chosen people. Yeah, chosen for colon cancer.
Can't you choose somebody? Once in a while, can't you choose somebody else?
Yeah, they were choosing. Yeah, that's what we're chosen. Yeah, chosen for cancer. Great.
You have to clean out your system before they go up there?
Yeah, you guys are very into this.
Well, I'm curious now.
Yeah, you got to clean it out. It's got to be, completely clean.
Does it check for other things besides colon cancer? How about pancreatic or esophagus?
You're just looking at the interior lining of the colon. That's all you're looking at.
And what's the regimen before you get it done?
It's usually just a series of enemas and laxatives from above by mouth.
All right, so no dinner.
But I love people. I remember the old days. People would go, "Oh, you've got a mucus shunt in your colon." It's like, listen, every time you do a colonoscopy, every molecule is taken out of there. No anything in the colon by the time you're doing a colonoscopy.
That's it. Kill me. Can you fast for a couple of days to make less stuff in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea to do.
Go to liquid. Yeah, liquid diet.
Hold on.
I would just fast and just live on water for 3 days.
They probably put you on liquid
diet. When's the last time you fasted for 2 days?
Oh, you're a bastard. You are. That was just wrong. That was just wrong.
All right. Well, maybe Yom Kippur or something. But
no, I don't do it then either. Yeah, but actually, I can fast. I can go without eating. You'd be surprised.
Right.
I've done it.
Right. Just, it's like a bear hibernating.
I just want to die.
Drew said it. Drew and him.
By the way. Colonoscopies are not in my documentary. Does he know that?
Drew said during the commercial, he was talking to Ron. He's like, "Ron, I'm overdue for one. We'll all go down there and get one."
I'd feel better if you guys went with me. Like, it's all.
I wouldn't mind doing it.
Somehow there's this good feeling in numbers. You know what I'm saying? Because you guys especially can go first. You know?
Drew, what about a bulk discount, right?
Like,
after they pull it out of Ron's ass, the guy just wipes it under his arm and goes right up your ass with it.
That's disgusting!
I go number one. I'm number one.
No way! Well, you're a doctor. You must get discounts. I mean, God Lord. I mean,
no.
Well, do you actually give them? Because you're
Yeah, I did lots. I used to do them all the time.
You did them yourself?
Mm-hmm. I did sigmoids all the time.
Sigmoidoscopy, but that doesn't really tell you enough,
does it?
That's
3 feet, yeah.
3 feet. And Drew, what's the sensation? You're just out?
You're out.
Right. Are people with internal... This is not me, by the way. This is not me. People with internal hemorrhoids, aren't they more likely to get colon cancer?
Nope.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Matthew?
They just have rectal bleeding, and so you wonder if they have polyps or colon cancer.
All right. Let's get off the
I just want to go kill myself. Folks, before I turn 50, just end it. You know what I'm saying?
Matthew, you're 35. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Matthew, you needn't get a colonoscopy yet, right? Dr. Joe, he's okay.
He's 35, yeah.
Yeah, you're fine, Matthew, okay.
No. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Bogus.
Well, when I discipline my daughter, she's 11-year-old, and I get an erection. It kind of excites me, and it kind of scares me at the same time.
So you abuse your daughter?
No.
Well, you discipline.
No, you mean spanking for good reasons, like just so you discipline.
There's no such thing.
Well, no.
Gentle spanking?
No.
You don't think there's any such thing? Well, when she disrespects her mother.
Then you do a time. You do timeouts. There's various ways that there's
correct.
Simply.
I do timeouts at certain things when she disrespects.
There's absolutely never a situation in child rearing where there aren't many other vastly superior alternatives to striking a child, in terms of outcome, in terms of getting the behavior you want. There just simply is not a situation.
That's fascinating, because I didn't even
and know. Wherever, right. Whenever you hit a child, this has been studied innumerable times. There's something called normative abuse that goes on in this society, unfortunately, that you will see a dramatic drop in the behavior you're trying to manage for 2 weeks, and then a dramatic spring back beyond what they were doing before that becomes permanent.
All right.
So if you want to increase the behavior you're trying to control, you hit a child. Stop for a couple of weeks and then spring through.
She's 11?
Sure. She's 11, sure. And I can understand his point of view, but I don't agree with it.
Well, it's nothing to agree with or not agree with. It's just the facts.
Well, listen, Matthew, he knows his business. He drives a flatbed
truck. But the problem at hand,
though, is
that he says that, well, if you stop spanking, there won't be a problem. But he's saying he's getting aroused. So what's the story? What would you say about that?
Well, it shows how aggressive he's being. I mean, that's just an aggressive... Men sometimes become aroused during an aggressive act.
But what happens if, let's say, it's not for that? Let's say sometimes, like, you know... That must be a very weird thing. Again, I'm not a father, so I haven't had this problem, but...
Are you sexually aroused by a child?
And I have 3 boys, and that does not happen when I would discipline my boys.
Hold on a second. I got to talk about Matthew. First off...
That's a fascinating question, actually.
It's a scary situation, but the good news is Ron's going to be be effing this chick in another 7 years
or
so.
Oh, you stop.
No, no, this is prime candidate.
This is where really disappointing.
Yeah, oh, keeps coming.
This is where that happens. She
line them up.
The physical abuse puts them at high risk for sexual abuse and victimization. They get victimized, then they go out and reenact all that stuff.
But aren't there degrees? Let's say he's just giving an occasional spank in the tushy because she didn't talk right to her mom.
He's not.
That's what they call a full-scale abuse compared to real abuse.
Matthew, I got Matthew's cadence, and it's a scary one just from a verbal standpoint, number one. Number two, he's calling from Bakersfield. Number three, he's got three boys. I always hate that because the daughter, so she goes into the adult film industry. But the boys are the ones that are holding up people at the ATMs.
Let's stop.
All right, Matthew.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can solve this. How old are your boys?
I have a 13-year-old boy, 11-year-old daughter, 9-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. All right, what do you do for a living?
I'm a UPS driver.
I told you he drove a truck. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a lot of kids.
Sure.
Yeah, it seems stressful. And your kids are doing okay?
Sure, yeah.
They are? All right. Everyone's doing okay in school? The boys aren't getting into fights and that kind of stuff?
No.
All right.
Well, we have good kids.
All right. Sometimes this cadence is changing. I'm starting to think this is bogus again. All right. And you get an erection but here's the question. We know what's going on in your pants. What's going on in your mind?
That this shouldn't be happening.
Right. But you're not thinking sexual thoughts.
Oh, no. Not at all.
All right.
Not like I want to do my daughter or nothing, no.
All right. So there's
Does it happen at other times? Like, let's say when she's maybe wearing a bathing suit and going swimming or something like that?
No. Not at all.
All right. So there's no chance of this.
He's right about the aggression.
All right. Then it's just the aggression. So, Matthew.
It shows how out of line the behavior is, frankly.
Stop spanking her. That solves that problem.
As I said before, I know you have a respected opinion because you drive a truck, and Drew's, he just reads his stupid medical journals. But
so any guy that drives a truck should have aggression and spank his kids?
No, I'm just saying take it easy on the kid's bottom, please. Please. They end up resenting you, and they get hooked up with abusive
Try
people
Try what
later
Dr. Drew
on.
Said. There's other ways of, disciplining, staying at home or...
Tons of ways. Yeah, but you have to work at it. It's harder work.
But it's interesting is that, what you said, because I've known many family people in my own family and friends who the parents would do a little spanking here and there, and they grew up totally happy, healthy.
A little spanking is one thing, but if you're so aggressive that you're getting an erection, and that's aggressive. Whenever the child is rendered powerless, whenever they feel like they're being threatened, frightened to the point of powerlessness, that is a trauma. And the brain wiring alters in response to that.
Because there are some parents who will swear by that old adage, spare the rod, spoil the child. Remember that old?
Sure.
And you're totally going against, hundreds of years of upbringing.
Normative abuse, it's called. Normative abuse.
That is amazing.
Why do we have wars? Why do we have criminals?
Very, very interesting. Very good point. See, this is something this is new to me.
Well, see, Ron, you learn something.
How about a slap on the hand or something?
No, that's fine. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Nazi about not doing it either.
Like a slap on the hand, it might be okay, but it's the spanking and the
Using physicality is not a great thing to teach a kid. But the key thing is not to traumatize them. And if they feel frightened and they're being threatened.
All right. We get it. It's mildly interesting. It's not that.
And there's no spanking in my document. Oh, actually, there is a little bit. It was a couple of the girls. Okay.
I got a little spanking to do when I get home, too. Brandy? Oh, yes. My penis has been very, very bad. You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, lately, I have been giving my boyfriend blowjobs throughout the day.
Throughout the day?
When he has his... When he comes, I spit it out, and I was wondering, because that's really rude, what would happen if I swallowed it to me?
You would have people growing in your tummy.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
What's interesting.
Are little people.
Because I can feel them moving around in there, and it's scary, so mm-hmm. I spit it
I don't think she can actually feel them moving around.
Oh, yes.
They're too microscopic.
It's like really sea rude. Monkeys. Like sea monkeys.
It's interesting to know. Is that this? I'll make a guess, and a doctor might correct me. If you do it one time, it isn't so serious. But there have been cases of people at parties, including famous people you've heard about.
Oh, please.
You've heard these rumors. But they say if it's a lot of. No, but I've heard people got their stomach pumped and it was too many.
No.
You can't do a lot of people or a lot of loads.
Rod Stewart had.
No, or in the porno business, I've always told people, one time is okay. But if a woman swallows a few loads, that could be actually stomach pumping. Am I right?
It's just
hold on.
One load's not going to hurt you, right, Dr. Drew?
Hold on, Ron. Please, hold on. Wait a minute. First off, Ron made a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction with Brandy. I say junior college. Let me just see here. Brandy?
Junior college.
Are you attending junior college?
No, sir.
You're not.
Did you?
You're on break? What's going on? Academic probation? What happened?
Something of the sort.
What happened? Were you going to junior college?
I was, yes.
Okay. When you're recently out?
Yes.
Okay.
Academic probation?
No.
Were you spanked as a child? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm a pretty good girl.
All right, hold on. All right, so I smell junior. I always know what junior college smells
like. Yes, you do, yeah.
All right, so now, Ron, Drew, Ron and Drew, what comes out of you is like 10 cc's of liquid. It's like a teaspoon or something,
what
right?
You blow out your nose, basically.
So it cannot hurt you, then, one load?
Well, there's infectious diseases you can get.
But
how about a bunch of loads?
Yeah, but you're talking about several hundred, Ron.
I've heard people get their stomach pumped if it's too much, no?
Why?
Because all those little enzymes in there, I mean, they're assuming little proteins in there, no?
It's just
what about Rod Stewart?
So it can make you sick, but...
Make you nauseated, yeah.
I heard that too much was not good.
Well, if you're talking about quarts of semen, yeah, but we're talking...
That's
disgusting! How many loads... Well, I know we have to ask Mr.
There's no semen swallowing in my documentary. Oh, actually, it might be a little bit. Oh, yeah.
How many to fill this cup, this oversized Dixie cup? I mean, how many... Let's talk cc's here for a second, Drew.
Yeah.
How many cc's in an ounce? Do you know?
Don't know off the top of my head.
Somebody tell us.
I can tell you this: 5 cc's per teaspoon.
5 cc's per teaspoon.
10 cc's per tablespoon.
So what the average...
That's got to be 30 tablespoons there.
The average load is what, 7, 8 cc's, like that?
Yeah, less than 10.
Except for Peter North.
Yes.
Peter North's like 7,000 cc's.
So you'd have 30 to put in that little cup.
Right. So, I mean, you'd have to really make the rounds at a party.
Yeah.
And even then, that would only be 6-8 ounces of semen.
Yeah.
All right. Just a little clinical.
Good to know.
There.
Next time I swallow anything, I'll keep that. Next time, I go, thanks, Ron. Thank you.
People,
I understand.
People don't get their stomach pumped anymore, do they?
Yeah, we do it once in a while.
Yeah.
For that reason?
No.
Okay.
But what about Rod Stewart, who had to have a stomach pump, Drew, because he had all those...
That's such
those
a well-known story. You often wonder, you know.
Like, yeah, they must have just invented nasogastric tubes or something in the 60s, because it was all this fascination with the stomach pump.
He had to have a stomach pump. Yeah. It was all that.
Now it's like, big deal.
You know,
we either make him vomit or we pull it out through their nose, whatever.
You know what? You know the other thing I was thinking about today I didn't hear often anymore is I was standing in front of my house this morning, and a fire truck was heading up the street with the sirens going, and I heard a dog. Oh! Howling, I thought, I don't hear dogs howling at sirens that much anymore. It used to be, it was an ongoing thing that doesn't seem to...
You know what, I think the...
Did we breed that out of dogs?
The sirens have changed.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe the dogs have ingested so much semen that they can't make that noise.
The dog was getting a colonoscopy. That's
That's why it was howling?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Brandy?
Yes.
All right, baby doll. So, 22 now, and you're... You're ingesting, by the way. Good times, but you're ingesting the semen. How many times a day do you have it, your boyfriend?
Well, I would like to do it like 4 or 5.
Good girl, good girl.
Times a day. Like, he really likes it, and it makes him smile. So
can he let go that much?
Smile.
Does he let go every time you do it, or he just lets it?
Not as much. It's like it gets less each time.
Yeah, it's like pro.
Well, yeah, you only manufacture so much. Same thing in the movies. If a guy does 2 or 3 scenes in a day, his last scene is
a good thing for me, you know?
Prorated spunk. It's a little less, little less.
Does he want a job?
No. You know, I don't know if you've noticed how far south the show has gone tonight.
What happened, Ron? Ron, we blame you.
Well,
is that a bad thing, guys?
No, it's can we still be friends? Load. Yeah, we're friends. But
can we join hands and sing We Are the World?
I thought Adam had some sort of internal boundaries. We just go.
Nope. Listen, Brandy, you're fine, baby doll.
Okay,
What does your boyfriend do that is around that he can be blown 4 times a day?
Well, he works late in the evening. So.
I see.
Contact Metro Interactive.
He can lay around in bed all morning and afternoon.
And what about you? Does he have to do things to you?
Yeah, that's nice, too. But he doesn't have to.
All right.
I just really enjoy giving him head right now for some reason.
All right. Yeah, you're on a roll.
Are you guys monogamous?
We are.
So he's the only guy you give head to.
We're not seeing anyone else.
That's nice. But, all right. That's nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
All right.
We respect that.
Well, mazel tov, as Ron's people would say. Kristen is on line 2. Kristen is 12.
A good chunk of your audience is my people.
Kristen?
Hi.
on hold for 85 minutes. What's up?
I'm like 5 feet, mm-hmm. and I'm like 142 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and I think I'm like really overweight.
Mm-hmm. How old is she? How old are you? 12. Oh, 12.
12.
Right.
Everyone in my school makes fun of me, and
really?
Everyone around my block, and it's just
yeah.
wondering if they're, and I've tried all those like diets and stuff, and nothing's worked.
What do you mean they make fun of you? What do they do?
They just like, because I like to sing and stuff, so they like call me like Fats Domino and Chubby Checkers and stuff.
Wow.
And they just, they pick on me all the time and tell secrets about me, and it.
Hmm. Yeah. And what
those are very successful entertainers, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Fats Domino and Chubby. It's, you know, it's too bad that
Chubby Checker's not even chubby, actually.
They got their gender screwed up a little yeah. bit. It doesn't work quite. I just called my sister Porky Balorky or something. Can't remember what I called her. But listen, Kristen, are your parents heavy?
No.
They're not?
No.
Are they together?
No.
Hmm. How's your diet? Do you eat well? Do you take care of yourself?
I try, but it like doesn't work.
Okay. Well, Kristen, here's what we're gonna say, and I think we'll all agree on this. You have a little genetic hand dealt to you that's gonna make
more
you
trauma stuff here.
Really?
Yeah.
With the voice?
Mm. Just the feeling.
Okay, but what does that have
too.
To do with the weight?
So did I.
That she's keeping people away with the weight and sort of recreating the traumatization and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. The little voice being like, daddy's a little girl kind
it's
of thing?
Just, you know, it's more people who, when they're traumatized, they arrest in their development. They sound like little kids.
Right. But see, I was letting that go because she's 12. But even a 12-year-old can sound like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Kristen?
Mm-hmm.
What, any trauma?
No, never.
Never? Nobody physically abused
no,
you or sexually
never.
Abused you?
Your parents are separated.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
I don't know.
Well, Drew, don't give that puss, you idiot. You say
does
you
she
ask
just
me
love,
why
you,
my parents
just love
are
food?
Broken
you
up.
Just,
like,
do you just love eating food? You just love food?
I guess.
How old were you when your parents split up?
I was like one.
One. And you don't know what happened during that time? And your dad left?
I think my mom just wanted to move out here, and my dad's a cop, so he had to stay in Chicago.
Do you know your dad at all? Do you have a relationship with him?
Mm-hmm.
You see him regularly?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Does he treat you well?
He's awesome.
Okay. He's awesome.
And your mom's okay?
Oh, my mom's awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. And any stepdads?
No.
Okay. So your mom just remains single?
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
You do. And how's their weight?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Are you thinner than you are?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you know what a good diet is, and you know about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say. Well, hold on. Let me talk to these guys for a second. If you're 12 years old and you're overweight, that's sort of your cut. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you can talk to someone about watch the diet, watch the exercise, keep, you know, all that kind of stuff. But at 12 years old, this is the hand you got dealt.
But that's
it really
affects you, though, because the way you are when that age, you're and you're growing. Does that affect your physiology as you get older?
If you're overweight?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't...
It causes high blood pressure when you get older and things of that sort?
I'd say it's sort of... It's moot because that's where she's sort of predestined
to
go.
She's not that overweight.
No. Man. Kristen.
Uh-huh.
So your shape is your shape.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get fixated on changing it.
Okay.
But, like anybody that has a tendency to be this way or that way, you have to keep an eye on it. You have to
ease up on desserts, things like that.
Generally eat right.
Water instead of soda.
Move around a little and get a little exercise.
This is not about her weight.
And I'm like also wondering.
Wondering
about?
Watch.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering about like, am I at risk for like any heart diseases? Or?
No, not at your age. No.
True. Is that what you knew was coming? The heart disease question?
No, it's just that why kids... Targeting
making fun
her.
Of her?
Why are they targeting her? She's not that overweight. What's going on here?
Well, first off, kids have to target. That's number one. Number two, 5 foot and 140 could mean 4'11 and 150, and that's a good size 12-year-old girl. I mean, let's be honest. And kids can be cruel. I do agree with Drew. When people come after somebody all the time, you have some hand in it as well. And I agree with that. But we can't get into that dynamic right now.
Does she mix well? Did you have some nice friends that defend you?
I mean, I have friends, but I, like, tell them about it, but they really can't do anything since they weren't, like, there.
You don't hear that voice.
Yes, I do. Yeah. All right, Kristen.
You're a lesbian.
Drew, please. Kristen, here's what you need to do. Don't look for trouble. If there's somebody who makes fun of you, don't go back to that person. There's plenty of good people out there who will be friends with you. Don't become fixated on your size. Yeah. And hang out with people that are good.
That care about you.
That care about you. It's easy. I mean, if somebody is cruel, don't hang out with them. And find some other screwballs to hang out with. That's always nice. And then you make fun of the world, and you start painting your fingernails black. Next thing you do, shoot up the school. That's how it works. All right, Ron's scared. Ron doesn't know what to think about now. It's like
fascinating advice. Get a mohawk. You know, I understand.
Sure. We'll take a little break. Ron, Jeremy in studio tonight. We'll be back after this. Yes, the ultimate Coxman here tonight. Anderson, you're allowed to say Coxman. It's a regular word. Jesus Christ, Anderson's over there.
Did that get bleeped?
Well, Anderson's doing something.
I've heard Richard Nixon use that word in public addresses.
Well, there's a company called Coxman Toys. Seriously, C-O-X-M-A-N Toys. Part of Vital Toys.
C-O-X.
C-O-X.
They're making a Ron Jeremy doll, believe it or not, or action figure.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
You know, the Kung Fu Grip or what's that
called? Well, in fact, Snoop Dogg has got a model with him as well.
Yeah.
I'm with the same company as Snoop Dogg. I think that's kind of nice.
I had the Ron Jeremy penis that I brought home.
Las Vegas Novelties makes that.
Left it out, and the maid found it.
I gave you one. That's right.
Yes, you did, Ron. Yeah. And
the maid found it?
The maid found it.
Did she find a use for it?
God knows what's running through that poor woman's mind. I'm going to have her killed the day after I fire her or she quits because... She's just a vault of... I suspect she's collecting my pubes to sell
them. If it was 9 feet long, she could use it for a colonoscopy. Again, those jokes!
Okay, oh, here's a colonoscopy call right here. Let's go.
That's terrible.
Yeah, no. Here.
Lisa. That's just wrong.
Lisa.
Yes, hi there.
You're 32? Hey, yeah. Oh, thank God you broads don't have colons.
Hey, because I just...
They do.
No, it's okay. It was the procedure. I just had it on the 4th, and it's not a problem.
Really?
You'll be fine when you go in.
At least you're a little doll making me feel better, thank you.
Did they sedate you?
We're
going
to go together.
You're asleep.
Yeah.
But the preparation that's so horrible before it.
It's so horrible. What's so horrible?
You just have to take those horrible fluids and all.
No, and they've softened it. They used to be able to that way. Now they just have to take a few laxatives.
What about timing it for a Jewish fasting holiday?
Yeah.
You know,
Yom Kippur. Not
Christians
a bad idea.
Could do it for
Lent,
Ash Tuesday, or Lent, or something. You do it for Yom Kippur, and
that's an idea.
It's fine. You time it.
Women are supposed to get the same thing we get, right? When they turn a certain age, they should get it timed.
Lisa, why'd you get it at 32?
Well, because I was severely anemic, and they were just trying to find out if I was
bleeding
internally.
Yeah.
And it was just from...
menstruation.
There you go.
Lack of iron.
And I actually woke up during it, and I looked up at the TV screen, and it was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
so.
It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, but everything's interesting when you're loaded.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you wake up, but you're not really awake.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not used to having anything in there, I don't know.
But here's the thing, too. It's like
being gay might be an advantage.
Some of
it's
comical
like
having Ron be so upset.
I know.
About this.
Squeamish.
Well, see,
about it.
I mean, I'm glad it's comical to you guys. Hey, I think if you're gay, it probably helps, doesn't it? If you used to.
Oh, yeah. Gay men love things being put up their rectum. Doesn't matter if they're penises or broomsticks. I mean, that's a documented fact, Ron.
Or a scope, of course.
Or a scope. But
that's documented?
Documented.
What document you see this
I
in?
Just read an article in JAMA about this. A gay man.
JAM.
Love to have stuff jammed up their rectum. Hey, it was spelled with two M's.
JAMA.
It's a different magazine.
Gerbils,
altogether.
Of course, yeah.
I would have mixed feelings about the 9 foot of scope going up my ass. Like, on one hand, I'd be like, I hope they don't find anything. On the other hand, it's like, they better find some goddamn cancer if I'm going to get 9 foot of pipe put up my ass. You know what I mean? Drew, did you have mixed feelings about this? Like, you want them to find something.
No, you don't. No.
Oh, you don't?
Well, why did you go? Because it was you too young also to get it done.
A lot of colon cancer in my family, and I was having sort of strange diarrhea. And some guys
and I have none in mine. That's got to be an advantage.
If I know Drew, he had some sort of gift certificate that was going to expire, so he cashed it in or something. Yeah, it's something from the
free penny. Colonoscopy came in a Cracker Jack's box.
It's
sure.
Something from the Penny Saver. It said, like, the last 2 feet are free or
this
something.
This is funny.
All right. I'm going to talk to Adam because he's been on hold for 111 minutes now. Adam?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I can't masturbate whenever I, unless I'm high, basically.
On what?
Weed?
Yeah.
All right. Mm. It's more.
Have you tried Ron Jeremy rolling papers? They're in stores. Okay, so go ahead.
Is it more pleasurable, or you just cannot do it unless you're high?
It is 20 times better. And can I just say, Adam Drew, I love your show. I've been listening since Engineer Mike was around.
Ooh, thanks, buddy. But
Ron Jeremy, I loved you in Orgasmo.
Thank you.
Movie.
South Park guys did that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Adam, let's get back to you and your weed for a second here. He can do it. It's more enjoyable.
Well, is it?
I can do it, but it takes me about an hour.
Are you a daily pot smoker?
Yeah.
And how long have you been smoking pot for?
About 2 months.
You've been a daily smoker for 2 months only?
Yeah.
Maybe he's a little depressed when he's not high.
Well, that's
I am very depressed.
Yeah, he gets depressed when he's not high, and some of the residual effect of pot will do this, but usually after a couple of years, not after 2 months.
Yeah. I would say, though, and we'll see what the doctor thinks about it, it seems like he's heading down an addiction road here, which is he can't find pleasure in pleasurable things unless he's high.
Right.
So, Adam.
Yeah.
This may be just a little more about the addiction than about the pure physiology of you not being able to beat it.
Do you have a very tense life?
I'm sorry?
A high-strung, tense life?
Okay.
Do you have a very high-strung, tense lifestyle?
Oh,
under a lot of pressure a lot?
No, not really.
He's high all the time.
Yeah.
I have friends who take pot a lot because they're so angst. They need the relaxation.
No. They just love pot.
I just love the feeling.
So he just loves pot.
All right.
But people who smoke pot every day love pot.
So I think you're going to have to try to reel that pot in a little bit.
Well, if
if you can.
Yeah.
I was thinking about quitting, actually.
Well, why don't you give that some thought?
It's going to take a while. I mean, you're going to come down off that and feel pretty miserable.
But he's been smoking for a couple months only.
Now's the time. Absolutely. I agree with you. And it's,
All right. So, Adam, here's your plan.
You get the depression treated, for God's sake.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk to you again in 5 years. Actually, if I'm here in 5 years, I'll kill myself too. I'll strangle myself at the colonoscopy scope.
Yeah, I know.
But listen, the S noose, they call it. See if you can start getting off the weed, because it's not going to look good for you down the road. You got some momentum with this.
Yeah.
All right?
Smoking every day.
Let's talk to James, who's 27. James?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, got a really quick question for you, Ron.
Shoot.
Basically, I'm 27 out here in Vancouver, Canada.
I was just there.
Oh, were you? Yeah, at the Everything to Do with Sex show in a couple months ago there.
Promoting a tablet called Vigorex and Vigorex Oil.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Instant erections.
Got to get into that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I didn't get down there. Unfortunately, I'm your local friendly tow truck guy out here.
Uh-huh.
What's the matter, Adam? Wait, Adam's got a puss on.
No, I'm not. I just wanted. I've seen Ron doing the late night commercials for the pills that make your dong bigger.
Bigger.
They make you extra hard. They make them extra bigger. I really wouldn't, swear to that. But I've seen guys use them. At late night, I used to promote the Extends.
Yeah.
Now I'm promoting Vigorex, which is the oil and also the pills. And I've seen them work. And in fact, Dr. Drew said the ingredients are harmless. Nothing that it's bad.
All right.
You know, other pills give you like bad after effects, whereas Vigorex or never have a problem. And of course, Vigorex.com is the way you can learn about it, VIGRX.com,
That's why I was holding off on that question.
Go ahead,
James.
Well, yeah, actually, he brought up the second question was the Extends one. But, the first one is there's a company up here called ISMA. They're basically a talent company for adult films. Now, is this a crock or is this a real thing? Or
there is an industry in Vancouver that does shoot adult movies. Who's the people involved?
It's the company called ISMA.
Well, what do you want, James? You want to get into it?
Well, basically, they had ads in the paper and whatnot. You go for an interview. They tell you, you have to drop down $500 for a photo shoot with one of their in-house models or whatever.
Oh, no, that's fraud.
Yeah, anytime.
That's fraudulent. You don't get charged money to be a performer. You make money when you're a performer.
They have that.
That's exactly it.
It's a process. Sounds like an escort type service. You're paying money to have sex with a beautiful girl.
Interesting.
Am I right?
Yeah, well, you get it on tape too, I guess. Do they film it?
No, well, it's basically, there's actually no sex that goes on. It's basically just like a photo shoot, kind of like a Playboy or Penthouse photo shoot.
Why are you paying $500?
That's what I was trying to find out.
Nah, come on. Nah. I mean, there are a lot of casting companies in Hollywood, too, that give these huge charges to get into movies and casting.
Yeah.
I mean, Central Casting is legitimate. They charge you $20 because you go into a file and they get you a lot of work. I mean, if you're not paying $20 or $30 at the most, I mean, that's okay. You pay more than that, then something is screwy here.
Well, now, how does a guy break into the porn industry?
The way you can break into the porn business today is to go with a girl. Because the new girl is always the face. You always want a new face in women. They don't really want to see new guys. I mean, because guys are just props, basically.
Right.
You know, and there are so many guys in the business today that aren't getting enough work. They'll want to use their friends.
Right.
If you want to get a job, you go with a girl. Find a pretty girl. It could be a friend, girlfriend, a neighbor,
sister,
a buddy.
Mother, whatever.
Yeah, just a... Yeah. And you go to the agencies. There's World Modeling here in Los Angeles. Pretty Girl International. There's Reagan Center. There's a... You know, Spallone, there's a few agencies here that handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly World Modeling is the biggest. And then they'll get you a job with the girl. You go as a couple.
Right.
I don't know where you go in Vancouver. I know that's where Vigor X comes from, but I don't know what where you go in Vancouver. There's agencies, and you go with a girl, start as a couple.
All right. Good advice, Ron. You should do one of those learning tree things, you know? Ron
yeah.
Jeremy.
How to become a porn star.
Youngsters, yeah. How to get into porn. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ron Jeremy, our guest tonight, the fabled adult film star. Ron can be found down at the tower on Sunset signing copies of his new documentary, which is coming out on DVD tomorrow, called Porn Star. This is not a porn movie. It's a legitimate documentary that's been very well received and critically acclaimed.
He's even nominated for a Chicago Film Critics Award.
What porn awards have you won over the years?
Oh, I got about... 20 of them, AVNs, XRCOs, Fox Awards, AFAAs, the whole works.
Really? And
all
like,
the various,
what categories?
The supporting actor, best sex scene for this, best sex scene for that, or the different Hall of Fames, you know.
Oh, really?
I got my footprints, my handprints at the Hustler store.
Oh,
next
really?
To Larry Flint.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
and,
it's nice.
Is there a porn Hall of Fame like in Ohio somewhere?
Every
something?
Major organization has one. The Adult Video News Magazine has one. The... XRCO has one. The Free Speech Dinner Dance has one. Hustler Store has one. There's one you can get now in Las Vegas. I'm going to be getting the Hall of Fame Award at the Arrow store in Las Vegas.
And you got Talk into the business time. In 1970 what?
1978. Most of the girls I work with was sperm.
So you've seen it. You've seen it through three decades or so.
Kind of have, yeah.
And where was... What's it like now compared to 1983?
The girls have gotten much prettier.
Girls have gotten prettier.
Way prettier. We've got dancers from all over the country, Canada, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Russia. All beautiful girls come from all over the world.
What was it?
To come to L.A. to make adult movies.
What was the low point, you think? And where was it most screwed up? Drugs-wise, whatever?
Early in the late 70s, it was more like the hippy-dippy, free love, free-spirited, mm-hmm. You know, more of a renegade, radical kind of thing to do.
And
then it became very big business. In those days, like when Linda Lovelace was around, she claimed there wasn't a lot of money in it back then. And you know, it's true. It was only a few people making the big bucks. But then when it went more to video in the 80s and then DVDs and internet and even holograms, it's becoming very big, big, big business. It's leading in technology. If you remember, the very first pre-recorded tapes were adult. Adults right. have led technology from CD-ROMs to DVDs. It's been adult first, then the major studios follow. It's a big business. Women make a killing.
What percentage would you say of women go into it, do a couple of movies, and get out? I mean, is that the majority?
I'd say it's almost 50-50. Some girls do it quick, make quick bucks, pay the rent, and quit. Other girls, like Jenna Jameson, for example, or Houston, or the various Metro contract girls, can make anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000 a year.
She's making a ton on like internet and stuff too.
Jenna
right?
claims she's made I think $3 million in a 6-year career. You know, the Metro contract girls have made $250,000 a year. Some of them. I mean, it's big business for the women, especially. They make more money than the men by far.
Yeah.
They make more than most of the producers.
Well, they do.
Because, in fact, on the internet, they go directly to the consumer. There's no middleman. And some of the girls, like Asia Carrera, are their own webmasters. They learn about computers. And it's a whole new era out there. So, or Tabitha Stevens, you know. What is he laughing? What's so funny?
Asia Carrera is her own webmaster. I mean,
well, they do. They learn computer work, and but, there's no middleman. There's just them and the
but
public.
But only Asia becomes the
right
technical expert.
And and they do stuff like it's interesting. The Asian one learned the computer before the before Vanessa Del Rio did. But just where it crosses all lines.
You have no idea the difference. And the girls in the old days, but looking at what they make today, they're astounded.
They'll send their panties out at $100
mail
a pop
order
and stuff like that.
A lot of them
that.
Did that. But again, now the girls doing so well on the internet, that's not even happening so much anymore. They communicate, they have chat rooms. The girls make a killing now. I mean, the men can make 30, 40 grand a year unless they have their own series, you know?
Right.
And again, since I have this contract with Metro Studios, it's been pretty good for me.
How much you made off the prosthetic penis thus far, Ron? Can you put a number?
It's only been a few thousand because this new prosthetic with Las Vegas Novelties is fairly new.
I see.
But I've done really well with the porn star clothing, with the Coxman toy, the doll,
right,
with rolling papers, and with a Vigor X.
Yeah. Anderson goes nuts every time we say Coxman, but it's a word.
It's not a word.
It's a company name.
It's a division of Vital Toys.
Name it company FU if you want. You can't say it on air.
No.
Yeah, it's Vital Toys.
Yeah,
Look it up, Drew.
They make the Snoop Dogg model, and they make the Ron Jeremy model, which is nice.
Well, let me ask this, Drew, and relax over there, Anderson. The word Coxman has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like an old word.
Yeah.
You said you heard Richard Nixon say it in a speech in 71. Here's my point. I've looked it up in the dictionary, though. Didn't we? We couldn't find it.
I don't look in the dictionary.
That's how you spell it.
I thought it was...
If you're referring to a virile man who's a real stud...
It might be like Cocksmith or something. It might be something a little different than what it sounds like.
Well, look it up there.
COX would probably be okay, but the other spelling would probably be, no good.
Yeah, well, good times. We're in the safe harbor. Natalie?
Yep.
You're 18?
I am.
What's up? Drew, look up Coxman.
Right now? Go out there?
Yeah.
Oh, right here. I don't think it's going to be in this dictionary.
Hello, Natalie.
Why? It's an old dictionary.
Hi.
What's up, sweet pea?
Well, me and my boyfriend have been going together for a little more than a year now. And, we didn't start having sex until probably a little bit before halfway point. But it seems like the past couple months, it's just like I feel like some sex-crazed hound dog because I'm the one that's always after the sex.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
How old is he?
He's 22.
All right.
In the beginning, he was into it, and now you're more into it.
Well, in the beginning, I think it was just kind of like, this is my new girlfriend. I'm kind of getting some now.
Yeah.
New broom sweeps clean.
Right.
And so, now it's like I really have to, really bother him.
All right. Now, how long have you two been together?
About a year and, let's see, it was March 8th, so...
All right.
Just
say a year.
Yeah, about a year.
Okay.
Adam, I swear to God, the word we're looking for is not in here, but seasucker is.
Seasucker is in that dictionary.
Is that crazy?
Talk about progressive.
Wow.
I know it's not in there. It's just how I keep Drew busy, quiets him down. I told him to look up a word that isn't in there. He flips pages for 10 minutes. He doesn't talk. Natalie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe this thing has run its course. Mm-hmm. When you have an 18-year-old and a 22-year-old, and they've been together for a year and a couple of weeks, and the guy's not so into her anymore, maybe it's just running out of steam. Maybe it's coasting to a stop. How often would he like to have sex?
Well, let's see. Probably in the last month, it's been twice, and it was me kind of bugging him.
All right. And have you asked him about it? Have you confronted him?
Oh, we've talked about it. He, he kind of holds it against me like that's all that I'm in here for, and that's
Wait, is he getting it somewhere else? Is this a monogamous relationship?
No. Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, it's
are you sure he's not doing elsewhere?
If he's getting it elsewhere, he's getting it with her, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a horny guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think she should dump the guy.
Yeah.
He ain't that
Dr. Drew, this actually is more of a common problem than you think amongst also married couples and boyfriend,
what's
girlfriends.
That,
I mean,
that the girl...
Well, no, just after a few years, they still are very much romantic, but they say the sex dwindles a little. It's not quite as electric, exciting.
She's eight.
Well, what kind of advice do you give people like that?
You gotta,
my dad used to say, space it. You know, but what do you usually tell?
You use those pills you got there.
Vigorex. What do you tell them, Dr. Joe, in a case like that?
Tell them to shut up. Sarah?
To keep the sex spontaneous and fun years and years and years.
Ah, Ron, who cares? Drew, don't answer.
Then just shut up.
Yeah, I don't want to. Who cares? I don't want to keep anything fresh.
Sarah, 19. Sarah?
Hello?
Hi. Yeah. Sorry, Ron, but I'm just trying to get to Sarah over here who's got a problem. We got about a minute.
I'll ask him off the air. Okay.
That's all right. What do you care?
Real quick, Sarah, we got a minute here.
Okay, well, my brother committed suicide about 2 months ago, and since then, it seems that I have been sort of abnormally attracted to older male relatives, a couple of cousins and one of my uncles. Yeah. And I was wondering, I was abused by my brother and some of his friends when we were younger. I was thinking that it might be related, but I wasn't sure how.
Did he commit suicide before he knew he had to get a colonoscopy? I'm sorry.
Actually, he was very young. I don't think he had one.
Sarah, he was an abuser.
Yeah.
Right. I performed fellatio on him.
All right, Sarah.
You took this call.
Here's the thing. No, it's fine. She had a real problem when I get to it. Your brother was a disturbed person who probably was abused himself. He did these things on this abuse on you and then eventually took his own life. You're going to have a million different feelings. Right. They're all going to be screwed up. You can't judge yourself because of what you've been through.
Right.
Okay?
The problem is, though, I acted on one of them with one of my older cousins, and it didn't go all that far, but it's something that's a little awkward.
Okay.
Are you seeing help? Are you seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist?
No, not yet, just because I've been down that road a few times and it's never really...
Yeah, you need to go down that road and stay on that road.
Several years.
Do you understand?
Okay. Yeah.
Sarah, let me give you
your advice. This is similar to like if you were acting out on younger kids too. It's a similar kind of funky impulse from the wiring, the abnormal wiring that occurs from that kind of trauma.
What would you advise for her? A psychologist? Psychiatrist?
Psychologist.
Yeah. Sarah, you're screwed up and you're supposed to be screwed up. But now you're an adult, and you got to get yourself better, and you got to do therapy. You understand?
Okay. All
right. Then please do that.
And you'll enjoy life more, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, Drew, you want to ram anything with the mic?
I thought the show was almost over. I had to get it in there.
Yeah. We almost made a whole show without Drew whacking his mic into his coffee mug. But it's a nice twist. Usually the mug whacks the mic. The mic was the aggressor.
Well done, wasn't it?
All right. We'll be back. And this is what I love about the show. Bill Nye, the science guy, the guy who wears the bow ties and doesn't bust a nut in people's face, is going to be in here tomorrow night. I want to thank Ron Jeremy. Always good to see
the great Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
I didn't know you got to take care of his blood pressure, his sleep apnea, his colonoscopy. It will be great.
I just want to leave here and kill myself.
Porn Star, the name of the documentary, critically acclaimed, is going to be signing that down on the Tower Sunset.
Tomorrow at the Sunset Boulevard, 6 o'clock in the evening.
6 o'clock. Go down, say hi to Ron, shake his penis.
Got to give a plug to Metro Interactive.
Oh, you have not brought them up. Yeah.
They're my contract best films. And, of course, InVigorX, which me and Sunset Thomas and Heidi Fleisen are promoting. Sunset from the Bunny Ranch, Dennis Hoff and all.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
No suspecting homosexual would want to do me.
Right.
I say, Ronnie, sorry, we're not that gay.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.